All right. We have worshiped. Amen. Have you worshiped this morning? Amen. Wonderful time of worship. And if you didn't worship, you missed a really good opportunity. Now I want to ask you, do you want to hear from God?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so here's what we need to do. Don't matter what's going on this afternoon. Don't matter what's happened this morning. Let's set our minds. Let's focus our hearts to hear from God. If you have a need, Jesus is the answer. If you need guidance, Jesus is the answer. So I want you to, before we even begin, to realize the great need that you have to hear from God today. Okay? That being said, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 1. This morning we are going to pursue our journey, our grow journey, go reach our world. And today we start the new quarter, which is reach. We're going to begin to put feet on our prayers. Actually put into practice what we've been teaching. I'm ready to go reach our community. How about you? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. We start with, would you stand as we read from God's Word. I almost forgot that. The reason I do that is they did that in the Bible days out of reverence and respect for the Word of God. And that's why I ask you each Sunday, out of reverence and respect, let's stand as we read the Word of God. But you shall receive power. Jesus speaking with His disciples here. It's just before His ascension into heaven. These are basically the last things that Jesus will tell His disciples. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Greg Long, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right, so you know where we are. The disciples, just prior to where we picked up reading, had asked Jesus the question, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, this is the resurrected Christ, and they're excited. They're really thinking, you know, okay, this is it. Jesus is going to set up His government. Jesus is going to set up His kingdom. And here we go. Times are going to be good. But the problem was, they just did not understand the time or the season in which they lived. They didn't understand where they were in relation to God's calendar. They were ready to usher in the kingdom of God, and Jesus says, whoa, wait a minute. You don't worry about what the Father has put in His own or under His own authority. What you worry about is the job that I have for you right now. And that job being stated in verse 8, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the end of the earth. That was their purpose from that point on. You shall be witnesses. Now, did you know you're supposed to be a witness? Woo, I'm overwhelmed at the amens. You know, when you use the word witness, there's a natural fear that comes over people. This pit that goes to the bottom of your stomach, say, oh no, don't, you know, I can't, Brother Doug, I just can't. Well, I want to bring you to the point today where you can, okay? Very practical message today. And we start with confidence. Confidence. Now, I'm not talking about self-confidence. I'm talking about coming to the point where you're comfortable being a witness. And the only way I can get you there is to get you to understand, first of all, you cannot. You cannot. There is nothing you can do and nothing you can say that will change a life. There is nothing you can do to cause a person to repent of sin. People are so afraid, once again. It scares them at the thought of telling someone else about Jesus. And we hear the excuses given. Well, I just can't. It makes me nervous. Well, you're right. You can, and I understand it makes you nervous. I get flustered, Brother Doug. I don't know what to say. Well, you're right. You get flustered, and you don't know what to say. All that's fine, and I agree with you 100%. You can't. You cannot. As a matter of fact, this is written in such a way that it acknowledged the lack of ability on the disciples' part to be a witness. That's why Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that you and you shall be a witness to me. You see, the first thing that had to come was the power. The first thing that had to come was the ability. So today, I want you to begin by laying aside the defensive mechanism that comes when you hear the word witness. I don't care what that preacher says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to ask you to go buy a bicycle, put on white shirt, black pants, and go from door to door. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to ask you to be a witness. We start out with, I can't. I can't. I can't. And you can't. But here's the good news. The good news is that God can. You see, supernatural work can only be accomplished by supernatural power. And that's why Jesus said, you shall receive power. That word power, the Greek word's dunamis. And it literally, in this case, it means ability. It's where we get the word dynamite. And it says you will receive the ability to do what God asked you to do. Here's the thing. You don't need confidence in yourself. We hear so much about self-confidence. You don't need self-confidence. You need God confidence. And the confidence I want you to come to grips with today is that God is not going to leave you hanging out there all by yourself depending on your own ability. He's not going to do it. Okay? He's not. He's not that kind of God. The power that they're going to be blessed with or empowered by is the power of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And we'll get to that in the days to come. But in Acts chapter 2, they were empowered to be the witness that God had called them to be. Have you ever read Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2? Have you ever noticed something about that sermon in Acts chapter 2? 3,000 souls were added to the church that day when Peter preached that message. I have read that sermon time and time again. It is not a 3,000 soul added to the church sermon. And I'm not being critical, but it's not. So what happened? It starts in Acts chapter 2, and it's verse 4. They were filled with the Holy Spirit.
And that Holy Spirit saturated that word as Peter preached, and it became so powerful that people could not help but to respond to the preaching of the word. Here's what I want you to get. Here's the secret that you probably do not know. Are you ready? Do I have the attention of people in the balcony? Would you say amen if you hear me?
Amen.
Amen. I hear them up there. Do I have the attention of people on the floor? Will you say amen if you hear me?
Amen.
Here's the secret I want you to know. The Holy Spirit is still here. It was given on the day of Pentecost. They were empowered. They set Jerusalem on fire. Not only did they set Jerusalem on fire, they wind up setting the country, the world on fire with the message of the gospel. And it was not because they were such talented young men who were vibrant preachers of the gospel. It was because they were Holy Spirit empowered. That's what made the difference. And that has not changed. Just as real as Jesus said, you shall receive power. Not only was He talking to those apostles, He's talking to you and I today. That same power is still here. It's given to the church. You shall be witnesses. You shall receive the ability to be witnesses. But here's the question. Are you ready? Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Because see, that's the difference in the witness that you are. So often I have made excuses and I've thought, well, I didn't do it because. But you know what? The real reason that I didn't stand up for my Jesus through the years in those certain situations, the real reason was I didn't trust God to do what He said He would do. And the thing about it, God can't lie. God won't lie. He has promised that He will empower us to be a witness. There's going to come a time when you very well may have to get out of your comfort zone and just trust Him. It's not all on you. It's not about what mistake, you know, what if I make a mistake? It's not about you. It's about God working through you, giving you the ability to be a witness. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that you will never be uncomfortable. Okay? There are times when I don't care who you are, we're put in situations where we're stretched and we're uncomfortable. But that's uncomfortable is no excuse for inactivity. Share something with you, something that that we've pursued, and I'll tell you, this is one of my out of my comfort zone, extreme on the edge. Okay, as we this week as part of our reach out to our community, in the next few months, you're going to see some commercials, hopefully. On television or local TV stations. They will give a short devotion and invite people to come and be a part of our services. Okay? I don't know how well you know me, but I'm not a TV personality kind of guy. Okay? I can preach. I can enjoy, you know, worship like this. But when you set a camera in front of me, I'm like, oh, okay. Here's what I want to tell you. You know, it scares me. Well, this week we recorded our first one. And I'll be honest, and I didn't admit it before we did it, but I was very uptight about it. I was very nervous. And I finally said, Lord, I can't. This is not me. This is not me. And if you want this to happen, if you want it to be any good, it's going to have to be you. This is all about you. I'm going to go do it, right? So we recorded the commercial. And I think it turned out pretty good. But I want to ask you to join me in prayer that God would use that
to bring people to salvation. And I told you that so that you would understand that you're not the only one that's uncomfortable. Okay? God has been, this has been something that God has had to work on me for a while with. And I put it off and I put it off and I put it off. And it's because I was uncomfortable. But I want to tell you what, my comfort does not justify my lack of witness. My discomfort does not justify my inactivity. Listen, bottom line, you have to have confidence in God enough to trust Him that He's going to enable you to do what He calls you to do. So do you believe God? Number one, amen? Number two, we have a commission. You shall be witnesses, it says. That word witness, you know what it means, where we get the English word martyr, and it's one who declares facts that is directly known from firsthand knowledge. But what I want to draw your attention to, it says, you shall be. You shall be. And I want you to understand that this is not a command. It is not. And sometimes we preachers, we preach it as such. Like, oh, you're not being a witness. You're supposed to be a witness and you're commanded to be. This is not a command. And I'm not going to go through the Greek and all that. And if you want to, I'll tell you afterwards, okay? But I don't want to put you to sleep at this point. But it's written from the viewpoint of it stating a fact. He's not commanding the disciples to be a witness. He's stating a fact that they are going to be a witness. It's much like me today as I stand before you and you say, Brother Doug, you are a man. Yes, I am. I can't change that. I can't alter that. I'll wake up in the morning. I'll still be a man. I'll go to bed tonight. I'll be a man. It's just what I am. It's a statement of fact. Well, Jesus here is stating a fact when He says, you shall be my witness. And I want to tell you today, if you are a child of God, this is not about you running and cornering up your neighbor and getting in his face and saying, if you don't repent, you're going to die and split hell wide open. That's not the way to witness. Okay? Even though we know there is a hell. Amen? And we know there is a heaven. And we know those that do not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior have no hope of heaven. All right? However, the idea behind this witness is that every day you live, you are a living testimony telling people the story of Jesus Christ. Now listen, I said before I was a man. I cannot change that. All I can do is decide whether I'm going to be a good man or a sorry rascal man. Okay? That's all I have. But I can't change the fact that I'm a man. You can't change the fact that you're a child of God. And that if you are a child of God, that your daily life is a daily witness. My question is your witness trustworthy? You know, there are some people that would get on the stand and they would lie, lie, lie. There are some people who would get on the stand, the witness stand, and they would be just as honest as they could be. See, and as we apply that and look at that, the way it applies to us, there are many people today who would claim salvation, but their lives are not an accurate testimony of who Jesus is or what Jesus has done for them. There's a problem with that testimony. Number one, either you're not really saved, or number two, you're backslidden. Okay? Either way, you need to get the business taken care of. What I want you to realize at this point is not only is witnessing, being a witness, cornering people and making them uncomfortable, you're a witness every day when you interact with people. And you may not say anything at all. For example, Galatians chapter 5:22, Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. You know what the fruit is? Fruit's out there for other people to pick and partake of. Fruit is your testimony. Fruit is your witness. Let me ask you a question. When people leave your presence, what's their opinion about God? It's a question. You go into a restaurant. The waitress gets your order wrong. And she comes back and she serves you what you did not order and what you did not want. And it's your opportunity to respond to that waitress. Do you say, "Well, you big dummy. This is not what I ordered. I wished you would get your act together back there." You have just been a witness. You have just been a witness. But when she brings you your meal and you say, "Hun, this is not what I ordered." And she says, "I'm sorry." That's okay. That's okay. It'll be all right. Now, I'm not telling you eat something you don't want. But I am telling you that if you send it back with a loving, godly spirit. Okay? So that when you leave, they say, "Boy, that was the nicest person. That person was different." When you walk out of a store or walk into a store and they say, "Good morning, welcome to Walmart." Do you say, "What's good about it?" I hope not. Or do you smile at them, respond, say, "Good morning, God bless you today." You see, your action is a testimony of who Jesus is. And every day that you live, there are opportunities. You may not get the corner, get the opportunity to get people and talk to them and carry them down the Roman road. You may not get that opportunity. As a matter of fact, you know, those opportunities are not real common. But if you wake up and get out of bed in the morning, you have the opportunity to testify who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in your life. You be an honest, trustworthy witness. Let the people know by how you conduct yourself who Jesus is. You've heard the old adage, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." There you go. You preach every day. You're preaching. What are you preaching? You shall be a witness. It's about sharing what you've experienced. And that's all he's simply asking you to do. Share what you know about Jesus. And it's okay to talk to people about Jesus. Did you know that? It's okay to talk to people about Jesus. "Oh, Brother Doug, what if they ask me something I don't know?" It'll be all right. It happens to me all the time. "But Brother Doug, you're the preacher. So what?" One of my favorite answers, "I don't know. But I'll check it out." And you know what? I've even had to come back and tell people I don't know after I checked it out because I still didn't have the answer. But that's all right. Okay? It does not say you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be a Bible scholar. It does not say you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be a church expert. It says you shall be a witness, which very simply means to tell what you have experienced. Okay? So many people think, "I don't know how to tell people how to be saved." If you're saved, you can tell somebody how to be saved. Okay? You do not have to quote the Roman road. Take them down John 3:16, Romans 10:9, and you know, belt them with scripture. And then you back up and you go through this 12-step process and say, "Yep, I nailed that one." No. You know what they need? They need to hear the difference Jesus has made to you. Okay? Yeah, you might throw in a John 3:16. You may take them down the Roman. All that's well and good. But I want to tell you, have you ever been in a testimony service? Boy, those testimonies that are real and genuine will touch your heart, won't they? That's what a witness is. Being real and being genuine with people. Not trying to be something you're not. God knows you're not an Apostle Paul, a King David, a Stephen, a Moses. God knows that. He hasn't called you to be that. But He has called you to be a witness. To look for opportunity every day. And if that opportunity is very simply to invite somebody to church, man, if that's the only opportunity you have, invite them to church. Okay? Invite them to church. If that opportunity, the only opportunity you have is to say, have a blessed day, tell them, have a blessed day. But let something about their exposure to you reflect your Savior. That's the idea of being a witness. Then finally, there has to be consistency. If you notice in the last verse that we read, chapter 14, this is the really exciting part to me. It says, they were with one accord. Now that literally means, one accord literally means in agreement, one mind, one purpose. They were in unanimous agreement. What were they in unanimous agreement about? Back to verse 8. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. They knew that was their mission. Everyone's attention. You've got to have a vision. Okay? You've got to have a vision. Church is not just about coming for a couple hours and having a good worship service and going home. Church, we're the church. It's not a building that stands here. We are the church. And the idea behind church is spreading the gospel. Getting the gospel out of these walls and into our community. That's the idea. That's why Jesus has saved you. And I want to challenge you today. Catch the vision. I have a vision. I have a goal. Okay? My vision, my goal, is not big numbers. My goal is changed lives. Okay? Yes, I want this church to be filled to capacity. But not because I want to pastor a big church. But rather because I want to take all the people I can to heaven with me when I go. Okay? It's not about numbers. It's about lives. We've got to get that vision. We've got to get concerned about other people. We've got to let the way things are in our community bother us. Because until we're bothered, we're not going to do anything. We start with one accord. In total agreement. And then, my friends, we get on our knees. You see, I go back to the beginning. We can't do this. We're doing supernatural work, and that is just that will not be accomplished by natural ability. We got to get on our knees. We've got to get serious. I mean, you know, it's more. It is so much more than just very simply approaching people. Do you know Jesus? Well, I don't know. Are you saved? I don't know. Okay, let's take them through the Roman road. No. We need the power of God to change lives. That's things that we can't do. The Bible tells us whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, we'll receive. Okay? This is what Jesus told us. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give. Now, we're not going to go through a long list of we're not talking about Cadillacs and all that junk. We're talking about stuff that matters. Okay? Do you want to be a witness? Do you want to let this world see who your Savior is? If you do, it's time to hit your knees. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friends, I want to encourage you, start your walk with Jesus today. We're told in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you have that assurance? If not, today's the day. Today's the day. Would you come during this invitation and let me lead you to the Lord? And if you're so afraid, you know, if you're one of those, oh, it scares me. If you're one of those, okay, stay where you are. Just bow your head and pray the prayer of salvation. So, Brother Doug, what's that? Very simply, you give your life to Jesus, knowing He is the Son of God. He died for your sins and He rose from the grave. Today, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And you just pray, you know. There is no prescribed prayer. I've heard people say, Jesus, save me. And you know, it's what's going on in the heart. And I've heard people say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. But you need to know you're a sinner. And I know I need a Savior. And I know You died for me. And I know You rose from the grave. And Lord, I just ask You today to save me. And I've watched people do that and open their eyes and smile and go across their face as they share with me, Jesus saved them. Beloved, whether you walk this aisle or whether you stay right where you are, you need to take care of business with Jesus today. Okay? You need to be saved. Maybe you're here and there's another need. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe there's rededication. Whatever your spiritual need is. Will you just say yes to Jesus? Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we prepare for this invitation, we just say thank You for the gospel message. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the privilege to share that message. Lord, we do pray for that power as a church. That You'll fill us with Your Spirit and that daily we will walk in such a way that the world will see by our actions Your love and Your goodness. Lord, we pray that You'll open up the doors of opportunity that we may verbally share Your love and Your goodness and Your salvation plan. And now, Lord, I pray as we get to this point of invitation, that Your will be done. In Jesus' name.